Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Today, we come to the last statement of the Apostle Paul in his prayer for the Colossian saints. It is the one found in verse 14 of Colossians chapter 1. You recall that Paul's prayer for them began in verse 9, and there were a series of petitions. He told them what he prayed for them. And he prayed for them to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, verse 9. He prayed that they might walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing him fully in everything, verse 10. He prayed that they might be strengthened with all might by his power, verse 11. And he prayed that they might give thanks to the Father, that their hearts might be filled with thanksgiving to God. And then the remainder of the prayer is made up of aspects of salvation, this wonderful, glorious salvation, which constitute reasons why the Colossians should give thanks to God. The Colossians he's writing to are those who have been saved by the grace of God. He's not writing to just all of the citizens of the city of Colossae, but to the saints. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, is how the epistle opens. And writing, therefore, to the saints, the ones who have been made saints by the grace of God, the powerful grace of God, are the ones that he is praying to God will be stirred up to give greater thanksgiving to the God who saved them. And he lists some wonderful descriptions of salvation to prompt them in this thanksgiving. And we are coming to the last of those descriptions in verse 14 for today. And so that's where we're going on this Monday, November 30, as we gather together around the Word of God. And as we are able to do so because of the financial gifts of our radio listeners. All right, what about salvation in verse 14? He says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's a fairly well-known text. And of course, it is continuing on what he's already said. Back to verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. There's one description of salvation. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, verse 13. That's another very helpful description of the work of salvation. And then, speaking of this Son of his love, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, he says in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So, he qualified us for salvation, for an inheritance, verse 12. He delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, verse 13. And then he, and now the focus shifts from God the Father to God the Son, he redeemed us and forgave us, verse 14. Two more important aspects of salvation, redemption and forgiveness. And it will be helpful if we will focus upon those two concepts and dig around in them a little more deeply and understand more fully what that is and come to appreciate these aspects of salvation. First of all, redemption, which is primarily a financial transaction. We read again in verse 14, in whom, that is in Christ, in whom we have redemption. Redemption. The word translated redemption in the original Greek is a compound word, apolutrosin. The root word, Lutron means a ransom, and the prefix apo means back. So the most literal translation of this word, redeem or redemption, means to buy back. To redeem something is to buy it back. It is deliverance by payment of a ransom, a payment which secures freedom. Somehow my mind just now flashed the name of a book by O. Henry that I think was called The Ransom of Red Chief. Did any of you read that? I think that's a short story, not a book, a short story. It goes way back to my childhood. I don't even remember too many of the particulars, but there's that idea of redemption, ransom. When someone is kidnapped, oftentimes the kidnappers will demand ransom. In fact, probably that's the most common reason to carry out a kidnapping. There may be other reasons, of course, but more often than not, that's the purpose, to kidnap in order to get money, to extort money from the people who'd like to have their son or daughter or husband or wife or whoever it is back. And a ransom is demanded. That's a payment of a price, because redemption is deliverance by payment of a ransom, a payment which secures freedom. That's what the word redemption means. And that's a word that is used about salvation, in whom we have redemption. And so here's the concept as it applies to salvation. In the first place, it indicates bondage. We were held in bondage. That's why we need to be redeemed. It overlaps a little bit, the idea of our formerly being citizens of the kingdom of darkness. There we were held under the authority of Satan. That was a form of bondage from which we needed to be delivered. But now he moves that concept over a little bit further, and he speaks particularly in terms of redemption. In terms of the kingdom analogy that we saw in the previous verse, it was more of a military rescue. Like King Jesus goes into Satan's kingdom and wins a battle and takes people captive for his own kingdom. He has these people that are part of his plunder. They are his captives. He won them in battle, and they now belong to him. And he takes them out of Satan's kingdom, and he puts them in his own, like Nebuchadnezzar did when he came down against Israel, and he carried many of the people away into Babylonian captivity because he won the victory, and he had the might and the power to do that. He plundered Israel's kingdom and took many of their citizens captive by taking them to his own kingdom. Well, that's what happened in the previous verse. And so there are some similarities here, but now salvation is pictured in terms of redemption. But the very concept of redemption indicates bondage. We were held in bondage. But now the picture of salvation changes from a military rescue to a financial transaction, from a victorious conqueror to a generous philanthropist, from the practice of slavery and warfare, we get this idea of a ransom. Slaves are purchased, are delivered, and sometimes secure their freedom by the payment of a ransom or a redemption price. And warfare, when a army captures soldiers from the other army, many times they will release them upon the payment of a price, which most times is not monetary, though it can be in some situations, but more often it's a prisoner exchange. You give us our guys that you captured, and that'll be the exchange rate for your guys that we captured. We'll make an exchange. That's the price of the redemption that's going to take place. You have to pay us in the men that you have taken. So, a slave can be freed by the payment of a price. The technical term for that is manumission. In the Old Testament, there was a regulation, there were regulations, I should say, for the practice of slavery. But within the nation of Israel, at least, the slavery that is referred to in the Old Testament scriptures, we would call today indentured servitude. It really wasn't slavery like we know it or knew it in the history of America and other nations, where a slave was bought and owned outright by their master, but it was indentured servitude, where a person would sell their services to someone else for a limited period of time. It was a financial transaction. I will sell myself into servitude for you for a period of 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. What it really boiled down to was paying them wages in advance. Somebody that was in debt, they needed help. The only way to get their family out of debt was to sell themselves into what is called slavery, but really was more of an indentured servitude. They would make this transaction. The payment would be made up front so that the family could be secured from their debt, and therefore the wife and the children would be out of jeopardy. They would not be taken captive or penalized in some severe way by the debtor. The debt would be satisfied, but to do that, the father, presumably, or some other member of the family, had to sell themselves as a servant to somebody else. When you do that, you don't earn as much as you would if you work a regular job and get your wages in a normal fashion. The guy who's agreeing to pay for your services for this indentured servitude arrangement is, of course, taking a risk. He might pay the wages up front, and then something might happen. Even if you were totally honorable, didn't cheat him, didn't run away, didn't somehow fail to carry out your end of the contract, you might get injured, you might die. He's already paid all that money up front, and he gets nothing out of it. So he's not going to pay you as much that way. You're not going to get as many wages, as much money as you would get for the wages you would earn over a five-year period. It'll be at a huge discount, which is why it is slavery, indentured servitude, rather than employment. Huge discount. But because there is an advantage to the business owner, namely he sees an opportunity of getting an employee, for maybe a quarter or a third at the most, the amount he would have to pay one otherwise, he's going to take the chance, and you need the money now. It's kind of like payday loans, not a good idea financially. They are a terrible, terrible, terrible financial arrangement. But if you're desperate for money up front, that may be the only way you can think to get it. Please don't get yourself in that kind of a situation if you can help it. And you might be willing to sell your services in advance in order to get that lump sum because you need it. But you could get out of that arrangement, here's the point, by the payment of a ransom. You could be redeemed. If someone else were willing to come along and pay your master what he paid for your services, then you could be ransomed, you could be redeemed from that arrangement. That's a picture of salvation. We'll have to talk about it more on the broadcast tomorrow. Until then, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.